Matthew chapter number 7, the Bible said in verse number 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those that ask him? Our Father, tonight we're grateful for this privilege you've granted us tonight, just to be able to gather together around the Word of God and study its truths. Lord, we need you tonight. We realize our ignorance and our inability. Pray, God, you give us wisdom. God, help us tonight that realize that many of us live beneath our privilege because we fail to come to you. God, help us to just examine our lives tonight. Make sure tonight that we have everything clear between us and you so that we can come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. Have your will and way, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I just want to take a simple thought tonight, asking and receiving. Asking and receiving. Here God said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Think for a moment about the promises of God. He said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We could go back in the Old Testament and hear that weeping prophet in Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3, when he said, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But here Matthew says, ask. And you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Notice those words, ask, seek and knock. In other words, we are to be persistent in our prayer life tonight. Somebody said to me a while back, they said, preacher, isn't it a lack of faith to ask God for something more than once? I'm reminded when Jesus went out in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed. I find in Matthew chapter number 26, that the Bible said in verse number 44 in Matthew chapter 26, he prayed again, saying the same for the third time, saying the same words. You and I ought to be persistent tonight in our prayer life. We ought to pray and pray often. Make a business tonight of prayer. Ask as a beggar would ask for money. Ask as a traveler would ask for directions tonight. Seek for something as it was of great value. Just a few weeks ago, I had a bill. I had some money I had to pay somebody, and I took $1,150 and put a rubber band around it, and I put it separate in my pocket because later on that afternoon, I had to pay that bill. I went to Dunkin' Donuts and had a coffee and went back to the car. I had the coffee, used the restroom, went back to the car, and put my hand in my pocket and noticed it was gone. Man, I had that sick feeling for just a few moments. Man, I began to pray and I began to backtrack to see where I could have lost that money. Went back home and finally got to the house and I looked around and finally I went over to the recliner that I sat in, and there in the edge of that recliner was the money with a band around it. And I thought, that don't make sense. I couldn't have lost that like that. But man, I was so excited to find it. My grandson, 12 years old, came in. He said, Papa, did you find your money? I said, I sure did. How did you know I lost it? He said, well, I found it in the bathroom in the floor, so I put it in your chair so you could find it. He said, Papa, he said, I was tempted to just keep $10 of it. I said, bless God, here, son, take 20. I was glad. And hey, what are you saying? Too many times we go to God too late. Hey, we ought to learn to go to God before the problem as well as during the problem. Hey, I believe tonight, child of God, you and I, who are saved by the grace of God, we have a Heavenly Father who desires for our fellowship, desires that we bring our problems to Him. I get excited when my children recognize their need. When they come and ask, now I know what they need, and when they were growing up, I wanted to try to meet those needs. But man, it blessed my heart when they recognized their need. And when they came and when they asked, whatever you pray for according to the will of God shall be given. The Bible said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. I'm reminded of another illustration. I've got some things jotted down, and I'll try to stick with the Bible and stick with the outline. But I remember a preacher out on the East Coast. I was in Connecticut and read a story about a dear old lady, saint of God, who had been saved for many years. My, she prayed from morning to night. She was one of them old warriors that just went around the house praying and bragging on Jesus all the time. She had the misfortune to live next door to an atheist. This prayer life of this dear old saint of God would irritate this dear lady or this dear fellow. And one day he thought, I'll talk to her. And he went over and rang her doorbell and talked to her. And he said, listen, lady, why do you keep talking to somebody that don't exist? Why don't you just realize there is no God? She ignored him and he went about his business and she kept praying. One day he's out in the yard trimming the hedges and he hears that dear lady praying, God, I've served you all these many years, and God, you've always taken care of me. God, you've never let me down, and my cupboard's a bare. God, I need you to come on the scene. That old atheist heard that and he thought, you know, I'm going to teach that lady a lesson. So he goes down to the grocery store and he buys a box of groceries. He comes back and he puts them on the front of her door, rings the doorbell and steps around the hedges. And my goodness, she opened the door and saw them groceries. Man, she began to praise God. She began to had a Pentecostal fit. You know, that's a Pentecostal heart with a Baptist head, bless God. Man, she began to praise God, got all excited. He jumped up and said, lady, what are you excited about? She said, I asked God to give me some groceries, and look what he did. He said, oh, no. So he said, I wanted to teach you a lesson. He said, you see, God didn't buy those groceries for you. I did. She got more excited than ever. Man, she said, glory to God. She said, I knew when I asked God to buy me some groceries, he'd do it. But in my wildest imagination, I never dreamed he'd make the devil pay for them. Hey, that's the kind of God that we have tonight. We have a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need. Prayer here in this passage is explained by comparison taken from earthly parents and their readiness to give their children what they ask. Notice in verse 9, he said, what man is there of you? Whom if he asks, son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks fish, will he give him a serpent? See, God is all wise tonight. God knows what we need. Hey, what we desire. And he also knows what is best for us tonight. Let us never suppose tonight that our Heavenly Father would bid us to pray and then refuse to hear. Now in a few moments, I'm going to tell you why many times we do pray and don't get those things that we ask for. But listen, you and I ought to realize that God has given us over and over and over in the Word of God the invitation to come to Him. You then being evil, He said, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? Listen, ask with confidence. Ask with humility. Seek with care and application, not with earnestness and perseverance. Listen, I've heard a preacher, and I'm sure you folks too, I love biographies, and I love to read about those old preachers of yesteryear, and I've read how God met their needs. I've heard personally Dr. Tom Malone tell more than once how that he and Mrs. Malone came to Pontiac and started the Emmanuel Baptist Church back many years ago, and he said it was in the early days, and he said they had very little and they had no money. And he said they tried to get that church going. And he said one day Mrs. Malone came by and said to him, said, Tom, she said, our refrigerator quit. He said, I went into the kitchen and I listened. And he said, sure enough, it wasn't running. He said, I took the back off and I looked in there. And he said, she was right, it wasn't running. He said, I put the back on it. He said, I didn't have but $10. He said, in those days, you could call a repairman pretty cheap. He said, so I called a repairman. Said, he too came. Said, he took the back off, looked in it, put the back on, and said, Mr. Malone, he said, that refrigerator is dead. He said, if I'd had money, I'd have went and bought one. But he said, I didn't have any money. He said, I thanked the guy, and then I went in. He said, I just stood there, preacher. He said, put my hand on that refrigerator and prayed. He said, Lord, you know my heart, and you know my need. Lord, we have need tonight. And Lord, if I had money, I'd go buy a refrigerator, but I don't have any. And God, if you'd just make this thing run for a little while, man, I sure would appreciate it. He said, he went on back through the house, and a few minutes later, he walked through, and he heard something. He said, he listened. He said, it was that refrigerator. He said, not only did God heal it, but it ran 15 more years before it died again. You say, that's a little ridiculous. I know. That's why we don't have answers to prayers like that. We don't expect God to do nothing like that. Hey, I'm just saying, child of God, we have a book from God tonight. And it wasn't just written to those folks 2,000 years ago. You and I can lay hold of the promises of God tonight. Hey, these promises are for you, child of God. They are for me. Let me give you one more quick illustration. I'll get into the outline. I was going to a meeting, preacher. I do revivals and sometimes just Sunday, whatever. But I was going one time and I'm on my way to that meeting. I never tell anybody anything that I need. I just tell it to God. I'm going to that meeting and my wife's been dead 6 years now, but just before she had died, and I was figuring up the bills, and car insurance is ridiculous in Michigan, no fault, and it was due, and it's my birthday, that the tags were due, and everything was due. I was figuring up the money that day, and my mind going down, and lo and behold, I was going to be $270 short. I never said nothing to nobody except God, and I knew I go to that church every year. I knew what the offering would be. And I had that all through everything. But I said, God, it'd be good somehow if you could just meet this need. 270, never said nothing to nobody. Preached that Sunday and went back in that Sunday night. And preacher introduced me. And just as I came, he said, wait a minute, Brother Bill, have a seat. He looked at the church and he said, church, I'm going to do something I've never done. He said, God just revealed to me in my spirit that Brother Bill has a need. He said, fella, grab the offering plate. They took up an offering. He said to me, he said, now, Brother Bell, come Wednesday night when the meeting's over, when we give you the check, he said, we'll add this to it. We'll give you a separate check for this. Come Wednesday night, he reached in his pocket and he said, here, Brother Bell, here's the check and here's the one, the special offer. He started to reach it to me. I said, preacher, before you give me that check, could I tell you how much it is? He said, you didn't see it. I said, I know I didn't see it, but I'd like to take a shot at it. I'd like to see if I could just guess how much money that offering was. He said, you beat all I've ever seen. Go ahead. I said, it wouldn't be $270, would it? He said, no, it's $271. Hey, God's method, math is better than mine. Hey, I'm telling you, hey, we have a God tonight that's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all. I'm saying tonight, child of God, many times you and I live beneath our privileges in Christ Jesus because we do not lay it on an altar to him. Let me hurry on tonight. Now, there's been times in my life, as there has been in yours, when I prayed, preacher, and it just seemed like the heavens were as brass. I mean, you just pray and you beg, and it just seemed like, my, I'm getting nowhere. It seemed that God was a million miles away, so to speak. Now, when those times come, what do you do? Do you just quit praying or do you give up? What do you do? I ask myself some questions. Well, that happens to me, and I'm not seeing the hand of God manifested in my life. And I looked as today being a meeting. I went south to hold that meeting in Arcata, Florida. And I had to have 2 weeks. I was driving. I thought, you know what I'll do is just I'm going to drive it, and I'm going to take a little mini vacation and just going to enjoy some time. And said, God, it'd be good if you'd just give me a place to preach on that second Sunday. Well, it looks like maybe that was answered. Amen. Hey, what are you saying? I'm saying God is able to do. Oh, here's one of the first questions that I ask myself tonight. Am I praying for lustful reasons? When you pray and you ask God and it seems the heavens are brass, you're not getting any answer to that prayer. You ought to ask yourself tonight, am I praying for lustful reasons? James chapter 4 verse 2 said, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, you cannot obtain. Ye fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. The next verse, verse 3 says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Hey, child of God, he's not just a Santa Claus yonder and just some poor things out. Listen, we need to examine our own lives. When those heavens seem as brass tonight, you know, we ought not to be like that name it and claim it crowd. I'm telling you tonight, that's not biblical tonight. But my, on the flip side of that, we're going to lay hold of the promises of God. And when that need, that prayer is not answered, begin to examine our hearts. Number one now, am I praying for lustful reasons? Number two, am I praying according to the will of God? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 again. This is the confidence that we have in Him. We ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Hey, if it's according to the will of God. Well, preacher, you don't understand. Our church had a ball game and we prayed to win and our team lost. I think I'm foolish. You say, shouldn't we pray? Yes. Here's how well to pray. Here's the will of God concerning the ball game. Lord, help me to be a good testimony. Lord, help me to be kind. Lord, help me to be obedient. Lord, help me to be Christ-like. Help me not to lose my temper when my child gets called out. See, there is a right way to pray. I'm saying we ought to pray according to the will of God. Lord, help me to be humble. Lord, help me to be soul conscious. My Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Here's the third question I always ask myself. When the heavens seem as brass, remember now, am I asking for lustful reasons? Number two, am I praying according to the will of God? Number three, do I have a forgiving spirit? You realize that grudge holders won't get anywhere with God. You realize, folks, that God said in Matthew chapter number 6, verse 14 and 15, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive yours. Verse 15, he said, if you don't forgive men, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. I'm saying tonight, you and I ought to keep short accounts. We ought not to hold that grudge. Have that old bitter, angry spirit at others. I was in a church one time in a meeting. Preacher, well, they had two families. The preacher had told me before the revival meeting. Before the revival meeting. He said those two families in the same church, he said for nearly 15 years and have not spoken to one another. We wonder why we've got so many problems. We wonder why people are not being stirred. We wonder why people are not being saved when we have one family over here and another over here and go out separate doors to keep from speaking to one another. How sad that is. Hey, God's not going to hear that kind of a prayer tonight. Grudge holders may be saved, but yet when they die, they'll die out of the will of God. Hey, here's another question we ought to ask ourselves. Do I have a prideful spirit? See, sometimes we pray, and man, I begin to brag on prayer and give you some illustrations, and you may be sitting there saying, "Why, God hasn't done anything like that for me in quite a while." I just want to try to get us to examine our hearts tonight, examine our lives, and find out why the heavens seem as brass tonight. Hey, do I have a prideful spirit? Psalm chapter 138 and verse number 8, though the Lord be high, he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. James chapter 4 and verse number 6, it said, wherefore saith God, resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Sometimes we're too concerned about what others may think. Now, my late wife, she was born over in Johnson City. And we got married in 1969, and we were married 49 years this past Wednesday, but she'd been gone 6, so we were together 43 years. But when we were married, we were both unsaved. She had never been in any churches down here. And up north, folks, there, I have to come down south every so often because I don't want to get like the north. Churches are different up north. Man, you had more life in this church this morning than a lot of churches having a whole week or month. But anyway, we were in a church up here, and she wasn't used to being down here. And we were over in Pigeon Forge, and I was preaching over there. And first night, you know, we had prayer meeting. I was used to this. She wasn't. I'd been in the south. I'd seen it. And at the night, they'd have the men to go into one room. Ladies go in the other before the service. Pray a little while. So we got in the car after the service, and my wife said, honey, she said, what'd you think about the prayer meeting? Now, as soon as she said that, I knew where she was going. But I thought, I'm going to play the game. I said, what do you mean? I said, I liked it all right. What's wrong with it? She said, well, how'd they pray? I said, what do you mean, honey? I said, well, they just talked to God. She said, yeah, but how? I said, but, you know, we just opened our mouth. And she said, but did they all pray at one time? See, down there, sometimes they'll get in there, and one guy will start, and they'll all pray, see. And she just couldn't grasp it. She said, did they pray all at one time? Out loud at one time? And I said, yeah. She said, boy, I like that. I said, honey, why not? She said, because I couldn't hear a thing they were saying. And then I said, after being married all them years, I said, honey, did you ever stop to think? They weren't talking to you, they were talking to God. May I say, it was a quiet ride back to the motel that night. But see, sometimes we get all too concerned on things like that. Hey, I just figured, now we don't do that up north. Listen, as a rule, now and then, you know, some do. But the fact is, if God can hear everybody, preacher, he heard these people praying here today. Those folks in my church up there, if he can hear that all at one time, I think maybe he could hear 8 or 10 of us over in the room praying all the same time. Sometimes we get too hung up on penny ante things such as that. I'm saying tonight, God is able to hear, and God is able to answer. Listen, do I have a forgetful spirit? Do I have a prideful spirit? Let me give you a fifth thing here. Am I neglecting the Word of God? Want to get an answer to your prayer? You need to be in the Word of God. Do you neglect the Word of God? Proverbs 28 verse 9 said, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Here's another one. Do I have, listen now, boy, this is important. All of them are, but listen to this. Here's another question that I ask myself. Do I have a right relationship with my spouse? The Bible tells you and I in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7, he said, likewise, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And as heirs together the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. Have a wrong relationship with our spouse. You know how it is, I dare say. It's happened to you many times. Man, I've been at this thing for 40 years. I've been saved longer than that. Been preaching for 40 years. Come this November, I raised a family. I had kids. I know how it is. I know sometimes on Sunday morning, man, you get in the car and you head to church, and Mama looks back and she sees that Susie's got the wrong dress on, and Mama said, I thought I told you to wear that green dress. Why'd you wear the yellow one? Then she looks over at Bubba and, what's wrong with you? I thought I told you to wash your face and comb your hair. Maybe I look over at Mama and say, honey, lighten up, man. Well, if you'd help me around here a little bit, these kids, on Sunday morning, you just help me a little bit on Sunday morning, we wouldn't have these problems. You know, you've been there. I'm not the only one. Man, you had the same problems raising your family. And you argue on the way to church, kind of almost getting a fist fight in the car, you know. Then you walk in the church door and the preacher's standing there and say, good morning, preacher. How you doing? Good day, isn't it? Yeah. Those kind of things hinder our prayer life. I think maybe there's a word for that, maybe called hypocrisy. Boy, out yonder we were fighting like cats and dogs, but we got inside the church building and saw the man of God. We got real spiritual. Last time I checked, just looking at the man of God don't make you spiritual. I think maybe it might be obeying what the man of God says as he opens up the Word of God and preaches the Word of God. I remember some years ago preaching in Morristown, Tennessee with Dr. David Sumner. He works with the Sword of the Lord now, but I used to go there every year. And down there one year, and I mean, I preached Sunday through Friday. I drive all night. I get back home because I wanted to spend a few hours with my wife and family before I left again that afternoon. I get back home and my son says, Dad, he said, my truck broke down. He said, broke down over in Ortonville. Lake Orion. And he said, Dad, I said, well, tell me about it. He said, well, and Mom's standing there listening to this conversation. And he said, Dad, I pulled up in the drive-thru at Burger King and it just quit. So I went out with him and checked it, and I couldn't get it running. We fooled around. Finally, I got a wrecker, take that thing home. And I said, son, when I get back the next week, I'll see if we can get this thing running. But I'm tired. I done preached all week. I drove all night and getting ready to go again. And my wife is standing there. I got in. And she said, honey, did you get Jimmy's truck? I said, no. She said, why not? I said, it wouldn't run. She said, where was it? I said, it was over in Lake Orion. Now, she heard him tell me all of this. And she said, whereabouts in Lake Orion? I said, honey, it was at the Burger King. And then she said, now, this is Saturday noon, and it quit Friday. She said, was it still sitting in the drive-thru? I lost it. I said, oh, yeah, baby. Yeah, baby, they closed that restaurant down for 24 hours to give me time to come and get it. I'm getting ready to go preach. I done preached all week. Man, preacher, I get my Bible now after her and I'm after I'm done chewed her out. I get my Bible and I sit in my easy chair. God, I need some directions tomorrow. God, I need a man. I couldn't get nothing, preacher. The heavens worth brass. Why not? I was on the wrong side of the relationship with my spouse. Man, I knew I've got to make this thing right. I was wrong. I should not have yelled at her like that. And then the devil said, well, you know, she shouldn't ask such stupid questions. You know, yeah, don't make it right. I'm still wrong. So I go to the top of the stairs and I look down and I said, honey, I'm sorry. Sometimes I catch on slow. She said, what'd you say? I said, honey, I said, I'm sorry. She said, can't hear you. And I almost got mad again. And then I realized she just loved to hear me say, I forgive you. Listen, folks, I forgive you, I'm sorry. But I'm just saying, sometimes we have that wrong relationship with our spouse and we wonder why our prayers are not being answered tonight. I'm saying, folks, let's not blame God. I remember one time my little boy, fourth grade, having a problem in school. I took him in the bedroom one night and I said, son, we ought to pray about this thing. Dad, I can't understand that math. I said, we need to pray about it. He said, that won't work. Kids were just honest. I said, why not? He said, I tried it before and it didn't work. I said, maybe we ought to pray about it and then maybe we ought to study for a while and then pray before you take the test, see what happens. See, we want to blame God and say it don't work. It's not that it doesn't work. It's that you and I do not come about it in the right way. Let me hurry on here and give you one more and we'll quit. Maybe two. Do I pray in faith? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Dr. John R. Rice used to say if we pray for rain, we ought to go get an umbrella and carry it. I'm saying, well, to pray, expect God to answer those things that are according to his will, those things that he has promised us. If our lives are right, here's one, do I have unjudged sin in my life? The psalmist said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Listen to what he said in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins and iniquities have separated you from him, and now he will not. Your sins have hid his face from you and he will not hear. Not that he cannot, but he said he will not because our sins stand between us and him. Child of God, we need to keep short accounts. That preacher mentioned that invitation this morning. My, sometimes we'll run to an altar. Not just because there's known that sometimes we'll get on an altar preacher and just say, examine me, O God, and see whether there be any wicked way in me. Reveal to me those things in my life that ought not to be there. Listen, folks, sometimes we're too concerned about what others may think. Man, if I go forward, they'll think I got some horrible sin in my life. Don't let someone else keep you from getting right with God, from being a blessing to others. Oh, listen tonight. Last tonight, here's a very important question. Am I saved? John, chapter 9, verse 31, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of him and doeth his will, him God heareth. You know, God is obligated tonight. I find in the Bible there's only one prayer that God is obligated to hear from an unsaved person tonight. It's found in Luke chapter 18, verse number 13, which says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When that old publican and Pharisee went into the temple, that old Pharisee, he stood and reminded God about how good he was and all those good things that he did. That old publican standing afar off, not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, the Bible said, smote his hands upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'll say he'll answer that prayer every time. Hey, every time. If we will but ask him. But listen, all those other things that I said tonight, unless you know him as your personal Savior, unless you've seen yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior tonight, you are without hope tonight. You must come to the cross. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must see him tonight high and lifted up and see your ungodliness and your wickedness. I'm telling you, we are filthy. Nothing, our righteousness are nothing except filthy rags in the sight of God. We must come tonight. Let me ask you tonight, how is it between you and the Savior tonight? How is your prayer life tonight? Mike, do you know him? First of all, do you know him? Do you know for sure that you're saved tonight? Do you know tonight if your heart were to quit beating, you realize that the Bible said in 1 Samuel 20:30, there is but a step between me and death. Now our steps are a little different depending on height, but approximately 36 inches. That's how close you are to heaven or hell tonight. But a step. You realize before that step, there is but a step. And think about it. There is but a step. If you take that final step tonight, where will your eternity, where will you spend eternity tonight? Will it be in heaven? Will it be the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will it be in hell? You say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. Well, let me ask you this. How is your prayer life tonight? How long has it been just between you and God tonight? How long has it been? I've had two answers today, by the way. One since I got here tonight, not counting the preaching. How long has it been? Just between you and God, you go back in your mind, how long has it been since you can say, man, that's an answer prayer. I carry a preacher. I've done it for years. I carry a little book here with 3 by 5 cards and prayer requests and things of that nature. Pastors, certain preachers, and I'll go through it. When God answers a prayer that I have here, I'll put a little check mark and a date. I don't get rid of it. I don't say, well, bless God to answer that. That's good. Every day for quite a while, I'll pray and thank him for answering that one. See, when I come to it, I'll just, Lord, thank you. That one's already answered. Lord, I want to thank you for that. Learn to thank God for what he does for you. Expect God to do something. And then when he does, praise his name for it. Let me give you, I've got to quit. Let me give you one illustration. Promise I'm done. Went to evangelism some years ago, and my pastor and I was praying that God would provide me a van to travel in. Motels are expensive, and I thought, just a van, I don't need much. My pastor and I, we never told nobody. When I say asking God, preacher, We were thinking going to an auction, getting a good deal. That's the way we were thinking. I went to a little meeting down in Ohio, a little church of 40 people. The Lord's will. Matter of fact, I'll be in that area next Sunday, Defiance, Ohio. I was 40 miles up the road in Broughton, Ohio. Did Sunday through Wednesday. They put me in a motel. The church is out in the country, and I had to. I'd get up in the morning to the motel in Defiance, and I'd drive to Broughton. It's 40 miles. Preacher and I'd meet, go call him, whatever, and I'd drive 40 miles back. Now that's 80 miles. Then that I'd take a shower, and that night I'd go back to preach for 40. That's 160 miles a day I drove after I got to church. They put me in a motel, and then motels were high. They were paying $70, $80 a night in that area, maybe back then, for a motel. And this is what I said to the church. I said, folks, I appreciate that motel. God knows I do. I said, but I would be just as happy sleeping in a van out there in the parking lot than to see the church waste all, spend all that money on that motel room. I said, matter of fact, my pastor and I have been praying that God would provide a van. I wasn't fishing, preacher. I never thought. I was just speaking from the heart. That Wednesday night, I closed that meeting. People said, the preacher said the final amen, and he said, Brother Bill, just stay right here. He said, if people want to go out, and they went outside, and it was in April, and it was daylight that evening, still yet light. And he said, Brother Bill, just hold still. They got something they want to do, and I think maybe they're going to take pictures. A few minutes, they said, preacher, we're ready. He said, let's go, Brother Bill. He said, you're always here and you tell us you love us. And Brother Bill, we love you too. And the other night you mentioned the fact that you needed a van. He said, God touched somebody's heart and they bought you a van and they wanted the church to present it to you, give it through the church. Went out there and there set that van that God gave me, preacher. I was so excited when I went home. I was half out of the way. I mean, I went 20 miles out of my way. I was driving around downtown Toledo thinking about what God had done. For the next 3 or 4 years, and occasionally like tonight, I still brag about what God done. When God does something for you, brag about him. Let others know that God did. Would you stand with me tonight as the pianist comes and begins to play softly?